People's Tribune Radio is on the air. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. On this edition of PTR, we get to do something pretty cool. Or at least we think it's pretty cool. Every so often, the stars line up in the correct configuration, the moon's in the seventh house, and everything just sort of works out so you can bring your radio listeners an interesting discussion and at the same time engage in just a little bit of shameless self-promotion. So, what the heck is he talking about, you might ask? On this edition of People's Tribune Radio, we're going to rebroadcast for you the audio of something that comes out of Los Angeles. It's called People's Tribune Television.
Good evening, I'm Marshall Bosofsky, and this is People's Tribune Television, PTTV.
Again, like in the Gulf War, we're playing this game as if there are smart bombs, and these smart bombs will only land on the heads of the guilty. And they will not hurt women and children. And this is part of this whole lie that we need to just begin to talk about very directly again. The bombing will achieve nothing. At worst, it will create more people who will want to be fighters on behalf of radical causes. And the notion of making it look good by throwing in food packages after you bomb people just does not wash. And there's no doubt about it. We need an international process by which people are brought to trial. And there may be some violence necessary to bring people to trial, but it does not demand this kind of massive bombing. And these are not firecrackers out there that they're throwing. And it's very frightening. And now today this talk of expanding the war beyond Afghanistan. And this is sheer madness. We will not achieve anything by bombing.
People's Tribune Radio is produced by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, who also publish the newspaper People's Tribune, Tribuno del Pueblo. Stay tuned for contact and ordering information at the end of the program. Michael Franti of the group Spearhead once called television the drug of the nation. And while that's true most of the time, it's not always true. People's Tribune Television, PTTV, is a Long Beach and Signal Hill, California cable program which is produced monthly but aired every Wednesday at 7:30 in the evening. The program, sponsored by the Long Beach chapter of the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, has covered local, national, and international issues and has been on cable for about a year. In addition to presenting independent views on any number of different topics, PTTV is also call-in television, taking calls from listeners during its live production. People's Tribune Television is produced by Marshall Blasovsky, and we thought we'd bring you an episode just to show you what it was all about.
Tonight we're having a program about the religious community and religion and the war on terrorism. We're in the middle of a war against Afghanistan. And tonight we're going to be talking with two religious leaders about this war. I have with me my co-host, Kathy Venn, who's also from the People's Tribune. And my guest first is Reverend Gerald Stinson, who's from the First Congregational Church in Long Beach. And next to him is Rabbi Chaim Dov Beliak of Temple Adat Shevarim.
Havarim.
I'm Jewish. So
good.
Havarim. Tonight we're going to be talking about the American tragedy. September 11th certainly has changed the face of the world for everyone, and we're wondering, from a religious point of view, what that's done to your congregation. Maybe I could start you off, Reverend Stinson, with your views here.
What it's done to my...
What it's done to your congregation, to your congregation, and to the people that are part of your church.
Well, I think there were lots of questions, profound sadness, mm-hmm. tremendous feelings of sadness, questions about where God was in all of this. I'm in a congregation that has a very liberal kind of a theology, so we don't see God as in any way causing it. Or I don't think God caused it or could have stopped the tragedy, but I think God's tears, in a metaphorical sense, were very much a part of it all. And I think now we have to deal with how patriotism seems to be filling the kind of emptiness left by that sadness, and the dangers I see where patriotism can slip into nationalism, and certainly the whole issue of the war itself.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing I wanted to deal with today, was the what was happening was this war that's going on. Well, Rabbi Beliak, I wanted to ask you about how your congregations and how your view of this
our congregation is a small congregation, in talking with members and in talking with the people of my other congregation that's in Whittier, great sense of shock and sadness like I think many people in America have felt. In addition to the fears that Jerry has already spoken about in terms of concern over patriotism becoming a kind of nationalism, I also think that there's been some soul searching. I think one of the things that I would like to point to is the kind of messianism that is in Christianity, Judaism, and Islam that has really come to the fore. I think there was a desire for a little while to sort of stereotype. And I think one of the things that was necessary in the teaching and discussions was to remind them that there are these messianists that feed into each other in Judaism and in Christianity. Even the first day when the word crusade was used, it talks about the same kind of activities that really raise fear in the minds of many people of Islam, Islamic background and faith. What do you mean, crusade? The crusades of the 10th and 11th centuries killed as many Christians by the crusaders as they did Jews and Muslims. And so there's a whole question of how the world has come to stereotype the messianism of one group and not to see what's going on in their own backyard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was just talking with Reverend Stinson earlier, and I wanted to pose the question to you also. Just the nature of this conflict, we were speaking about it in terms of was this an attack on America, which is on all the television stations, versus this was an attack, this was a murderous act, this was a criminal act. And so this question of nationalism, I think the media is falling into and pulling this out of people that we as a country have been attacked, but so many different peoples were in those buildings.
It seems to me that we have to treat what happened on the East Coast as a crime. I mean, it was a horrible crime, but it was a crime against humanity. Mm. Folks from all sorts of countries died in it. And what we should have done is, with the global community, begun to look at, we should have looked at this as a global crime. We should have been one among equals sitting at a table figuring out how to find those who did it, how to bring them to justice in a global, international court setting. But instead, we took it as an attack on us and said, you know, we're going out there and going to fight, and you're either with us or against it. Turned it into very much of a nationalistic kind of thing. And I think that's very dangerous. I don't think you go after a bully by being a bully yourself. Who knows what we've been doing to the folks in Kabul? All sorts of innocent people are dying now because of our response to this. And I think that's a very dangerous thing to do.
This is People's Tribune Radio. I'm your host, Mike Thornton, and you're listening to the audio portion of PTTV, People's Tribune Television, a cable television program that comes out of Long Beach, California, produced by Marshall Blasowski.
Okay, it looks like we have a caller. Let me take a call. Hello?
Yes, hello?
Hello, this yes. is People's Tribune Television. You're on the air.
Yeah, my name is Mr. Fowler. I would like to speak to the rabbi for a second, if you could, please.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Rabbi, isn't this really just an ongoing fight between Isaac and Ishmael because of what's going on with the Bible and all that kind of stuff? This has gone on for about 4,000 or 5,000 years, hasn't it, sir?
Actually, no. That's part of the kind of messianic thinking that I'm very concerned about. To read this as a mythic struggle between Isaac and Ishmael and the continuation of the Bible story is to miss the real point here. Until the last 100 years or so, Jews and Arabs, Jews and Muslims lived rather well together. Jews were definitely second-class citizens in Arab societies, but at any time in Jewish history, if I could choose between living as a Jew among Christians or a Jew amongst Muslims, I would always choose living amongst Muslims. And the last 100 years has given us a different perspective. The other thing that's important to remember is that in the story that you're referring to about Isaac and Ishmael, if you do want to play the mythic games, Ishmael gets part of the land. And I think that most people who try to talk in terms of Isaac and Ishmael forget that Ishmael gets at least half.
Interesting.
I'm not so sure that that's a good text for you to quote.
So you think Ishmael gets more than the West Bank?
More than the West Bank, for sure.
Uh-huh.
But I resist those notions because they do not achieve anything. We have a problem in Israel that I'm very much attuned to, and that is that there are groups of Jews who want to rebuild the temple. That temple is in a very sensitive area. It mm-hmm. is now the place where there is a mosque. And every time they roll up with a 5-ton foundation stone, they create all kinds of fears. And then we have the grand orchestrators of this problem who are growing red heifers to purify the priests, and they live in places like South Carolina and North Dakota, and they're Christians, and they think that they're going to help get this whole messianic madness started by providing red heifers to Jews who will then threaten Muslims, who will then think that the hour or the apocalyptic moment has arrived.
So you haven't experienced that, Reverend Stinson, at your church.
No.
No. It's not quite as...
No, we're not looking for any messianic moments of that sort.
So as far as I'm concerned about just the... There's been some attacks on Muslim peoples, and how is that playing in society? Well, I won't say in society, but in the religious community, what are people doing to kind of counter that?
Well, I mean, you notice that when this all began, people were identified as Muslim terrorists, not by ethnic backgrounds, not by nationalities, but by their religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very easy for us to slip into a kind of bigotry at this point. We know very little about Islam in this country, even though it's one of the fastest growing religions. There are more Muslims than there are Episcopalians now, but our ignorance just feeds a kind of a prejudice at this point. Time magazine just had a poll. A third of Americans are saying, according to that poll, that we ought to be incarcerating Arab Americans, citizens of this nation, in internment camps until we determine whether they have ties with terrorist organizations, as if we'd learned no lessons from the Second World War. But
that's frightening.
That's a third of the people who are dealing with those kind of stereotypes.
Uh-huh. I think also, and I agree with what Jerry is saying, we have to, for the purpose of full disclosure, say that Jerry and I just discovered that we're classmates from college, so it's a little hard for me to call him Reverend. Call me Rabbi. It doesn't quite work. One of the things that's very apparent to me is that... Again, like in the Gulf War, we're playing this game as if there are smart bombs, and these smart bombs will only land on the heads of the guilty, and they will not hurt women and children. And this is part of this whole lie that we need to just begin to talk about very directly again. The bombing will achieve nothing. At worst, it will create more people who will want to be... fighters on behalf of radical causes. And the notion of making it look good by throwing in food packages after you bomb people just does not wash. And there's no doubt about it. We need an international process by which people are brought to trial. And there may be some violence necessary to bring people to trial. But it does not demand this kind of massive bombing. And these are not firecrackers out there that they're throwing. And it's very frightening. And now today this talk of expanding the war beyond Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And this is sheer madness. We will not achieve anything by bombing.
You know, Rabbi Michael Lerner said that if we were to take very seriously the mandate to begin to deal with our own affluence and to begin to find ways to feed the world, you're not going to find terrorists who want to attack us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have got to take we've got to look at why it is so many folks in the world are really angry at the United States now and find some ways to responding to that instead of dropping bombs.
This is People's Tribune Radio. I'm your host, Mike Thornton, and you're listening to the audio portion of PTTV, People's Tribune Television, a cable television program that comes out of Long Beach, California, produced by Marshall Blasowski.
Well, that's one of the kind of the principles of the People's Tribune and let me show you the People's Tribune and the League of Revolutionaries, is that we have the technology to feed the world. We could actually grow. We actually right now grow food to feed the world, and it's a matter of distribution. It's a matter of profit is the motive. I think there's about, you know, Archer Midland Daniels comes on and supports NPR, but you know they're busy starving the half of the planet. So it's certainly a big problem. What are the plans of you're in the Reverend Stinson? You're local Long Beach, very important church. Does your church have any plans for any peace demonstrations or peace meetings in response to this?
We hosted a large interfaith service right after the events on the East Coast. And I think it's very important that we do more and more things on an interfaith basis so that people see a kind of commonality in the religious community on behalf of peace. Our congregation is certainly talking about peace. Last week I tried to deal with issues of patriotism and nationalism in my sermon. This week I'm going to look at Islam and some of our stereotypes. But I think we're at that point now, and that people are struggling to figure out where they are on this issue and what they believe.
Mm-hmm. We are planning on October 28th, the first of what I hope will be several coffee kolaches with members of the Islamic community in Los Alamitos.
Oh, good.
And we hope that that will open up some conversations. The truth is that in the past month that I've spent in all kinds of meetings with the Muslim and Christian and Jewish clergy, I love the new dynamic. It's the Jews and the Muslims ganging up on the Christians. it's an interesting dynamic because it's a re-education for me of how much indeed we have in common with Islam and how close we are. Just one example, the Interfaith Communities for Justice and Peace, which has recently formed, had a demonstration in front of La Placita, the church of area, and the Jews and the Muslims were trying to make sure that the picture was not of the Our Lady of Guadalupe, because that would be suggesting a human image. We were trying to make sure that we could have some kind of a neutral thing. Finally, we agreed that we could all stand in front of an olive tree, which was, of course, an appropriate sign.
Good. That is a good sign. Yeah, I think we have a caller on line one.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
People's Tribune Television.
I watched your show, just came across, and it looked really interesting.
Okay.
And I wanted to say, I have two comments. The first comment about peace, I really would love peace myself. I'm thinking that the terrorists don't help it any, so I'm wondering how can we keep peace if the terrorists keep it going? And two, I don't really care about whose religion is what, whether you're Muslim, Christian, or whatever. I'm a Buddhist myself. So I live on, you know, a very peaceful type of mindset, okay? I don't understand how people can use religion, though, as far as in the name of God to commit evil acts. That I'm not understanding how they can use that. And if you can use any kind of religion for hate. So do you have any comments about that, why people do that with religion? Okay. Because it seems so hypocritical.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you, caller. That was a great question.
Well, obviously, what she's pointing to is that all religion is prone to idolatry, and that we are likely, as anyone else, even though we are religious folk, to do things in the name of our religions that are just inappropriate. And, of course, we saw an example of people doing that. There is something here that I think we need to owe up to, and that's another part of this messianism, and that is what I call the inversion of values. If after your frustration at being beaten down and disregarded, you cannot bring a better world or the Messiah or goodness by being absolutely good, then the inversion of values kicks in. Let's do these things in the name of God by being completely bad. We see that phenomenon in Christianity. We see it historically in Judaism. And we see it in Islam as well. This is not really Judaism. It's not really Christianity. It's not really Islam. But people in despair put on the religious clothing. And that inversion of values is very threatening to us.
Another dynamic I think that's going on now is the incredible increasing numbers of folks who have a kind of religious fundamentalism, and that's true in Christianity and Islam and Judaism. You see it all over the world where folks are being led to have a kind of an arrogant self-righteousness that begins to say, not only do we have the only truth, but then defining who I am over against who you are in the name of religion. And I just think there again, I think the more things we do as an interfaith community, I mean, I'm affirming that it makes no sense to the caller out of Buddhism for us to be divided. The more we stress the oneness, the more it counters that kind of fundamentalism.
That's true. And tonight I actually did really try to get somebody from the Muslim community. And it's probably, in some ways it's a good thing because they're so busy going around to schools and churches and synagogues and speaking. So we didn't really get them tonight. But maybe the next program we'll have somebody come on. We certainly want to get that.
So I was thinking just what I've seen. One of the tragedies of this is that there are folks among fundamentalist communities that are using this tragedy to further their own agendas. I mean, the horrific statements that came out of Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell blaming all of this somehow on gays, lesbians, and feminists. And then Lou Sheldon in Orange County just recently said, don't give any of the aid to folks who are gay or lesbian living in relationships who might have lost a loved one in this. Taking this kind of hate-filled agenda and turning it around and pushing it into this situation. So, I mean, we talk about Islamic fundamentalism, but you see it in all other sorts, too.
I wanted to thank my guest, Reverend Stinson, Rabbi Beliak. This has been People's Tribune Television.
Thank you.
Thanks to Marshall Blasowski, Kathy Venn, and their guests for giving us an opportunity to check out a little bit of People's Tribune Television, PTTV, which airs on cable in the Long Beach, California area. This is People's Tribune Radio. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. The following is an editorial from the pages of the People's Tribune, Tribuno del Pueblo, the League of Revolutionaries for a New America's bilingual newspaper. A police state is really aimed at the poor. America is in the grip of panic, fear, and confusion. Terrible times like these become the muddy waters in which treacherous political groups go fishing. The panic and confusion of our time is a temporary window of opportunity for groups to carry out an agenda that would be unacceptable in normal times. The agenda of America's ruling class is how, in a changing world, they can protect the economic and political interest of their 1% of the population. Their agenda never changes, but their tactics do. Right now, they need to create a police state aimed at the poor to protect their own interests. What is the situation they face? Before the tragedy of September 11th, the country was already in a recession and heading towards a depression. The continued shift to labor replacing machinery continues to create more layoffs and the inability of people to buy, which means the ruling class cannot get a profit. The economic forces represented by President Bush were demanding cuts in social services in order to maintain the ready money, the liquidity, to keep Wall Street going. Their political representatives in Congress, looking towards the next election, hesitated to openly attack what's left of the social safety net. They feared not only a backlash at the polls, but widespread street demonstrations. The ruling class knows that the American people will turn towards revolution if their basic economic needs are not met. From this point of view, the national tragedy of September 11th is an opportunity for the group of fascists that control our government to take advantage of the situation. Their first step is to maintain the confusion and fear so they can pass laws against terrorists that actually are aimed at the growing mass of poor that will surely take to the streets once the social cuts an economic downturn take hold. Proof of their tactics is the fascistic Senate Bill 1510. It allows the seizure of assets of any person or organization that the government decides is abetting money laundering or terrorist groups. No proof need be submitted. One of the most dangerous clauses makes activities that were legal before the passage of the bill retroactively illegal. That means, for example, if you have protested our government's planned methodical starvation of the Iraqi people, you could be charged with abetting a terrorist state. The list is endless. More troubling are measures that would give the government the authority to spy on its own people, unlimited authority to incarcerate non-citizens, and the expansion of secret searches. The experience of Nazi Germany shows that if fascism gets its foot in the door, the outcome is inevitable. We must not be fooled by the super patriotic rush to lash out against anything linked to terrorism. We know that the only weapon the poor have is organization. The ruling class is moving to deny this weapon to us. We must expose this tactic for what it is. That's it for this edition of People's Tribune Radio. People's Tribune Radio is produced by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. The League advocates for a cooperative society where the same technologies that are being used to displace and impoverish people all over the world are used for the benefit of humanity as a whole. If you'd like more information about the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, our other print or audio publications, you can contact us by calling 1-800-691-6888. That number once again, 1-800-691-6888. You can also check us out on the internet at www.lrna.org. And once again, we'd like to encourage the millions of revolutionaries here in the United States and worldwide to join with us in the quest for peace and economic justice for all. On behalf of the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, I'm Mike Thornton, and we'd like to invite you to join us next time for another edition of People's Tribune Radio.